You know that we love our on-demand listeners here at Lutheran Public Radio. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2008.
Well, 32% of evangelicals voted for Obama. Younger evangelicals, that is. That's twice the number that voted for John Kerry 4 years ago. So the younger evangelicals are probably the future, and they will determine the future of this huge movement that, well, by some surveys' estimates, if you include children and the rest, 100 million people, one-third of all Americans.
That's Richard Cizik. He's Vice President for Governmental Affairs for the National Association of Evangelicals. He did an interview earlier this week with National Public Radio, a very interesting one, in which he was answering questions about the future of the evangelical movement politically, the future of the evangelical movement when it comes to its young voters. Where will the priorities fall? Will we see a shift in priorities away from a strongly pro-life to perhaps a pro-life slash something else movement? A lot of things have changed in the National Association of Evangelicals. Richard Cizik thinks that he's got the winds of change at his back, and he's ready to chart a new course for the evangelical movement politically in the United States. We're going to be listening to some excerpts from this interview with Richard Cizik, and I want to know if you agree or disagree with him. It's Audio Open Lines, Issues, Etc. The way that works is we play a little audio. We ask for your reaction. Any reaction you have, questions or comments, feel free to do it. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, the 2nd of December. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, our in-studio email address. We get those questions and comments right here in the studio in real time. Talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. 1-877-623-MYIE, 1-877-623-6943. Now, Richard Cizik he's been kind of a rising star in the National Association of Evangelicals, been involved with the organization since the mid-80s, a very influential voice there. What some have noticed as the new generation of evangelicals have emerged, especially in this national organization, is a change in direction. The old guard used to be people of the ilk of Jerry Falwell and of Jim Dobson. The new guard they view themselves as kind of a broader base, a broader scope, more issues and less priority put on the old issues like marriage and life. Now we're talking about environmental concerns, anti-nuclear concerns. We're going to hear from Richard Cizik. I want to know what you think. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Here's Richard Cizik talking about the old guard of evangelicalism. Do you find yourself agreeing with the old guard or the new guard?
I'm not waiting. I would want Jim Dobson to join us, because this is about creation care. It's what the Bible teaches. It's godly. It is right. So I'm not waiting for him to leave the scene at all. I want him to join us. In other words, I'm always looking, Terry, for allies, not adversaries. Always allies. This is important. It's strategically important for Christians to care for this earth, just as it's important for Christians to care for the family. These are equals. They're both part of God's concern. They're both part of his heart. And so, no, I'm not waiting. Even some of the names on the letter that opposed me back just a few years ago are gone. But that doesn't change the fact that we all will pay a price for not changing. The earth is reaping the consequences of our actions when we don't re-examine our habits of consumption, right? The poor around the world, well, they're reaping the consequences of our failing to meet our obligations. This is not something that can wait for any of us to retire. Some may be wanting me to. But the gospel paints a vision of society that is relationally and environmentally sustainable. What do I mean by that? Relationally sustainable. It's a message of hope that we all get along, not just get along, but work together for a cause. which is bigger than ourselves.
Okay, that's Richard Cizik of the National Association of Evangelicals. Do you agree with him that environmental issues, the so-called green issues, are equal in God's priorities and therefore should be equal in our priorities with life and family issues? Do you agree or disagree with that? I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. He also said that the gospel paints a picture of society where everyone gets along, where there's open and free dialogue. Do you agree or disagree? Does the Christian gospel paint a picture for society of things like, well, we can work on the life issue, we can also work on the environmental issue? Do you agree that they're equal? That's the big question here. Because, of course, who wants to see the environment despoiled? Nobody does. Do you want your neighbor to come and change his oil in his car on your front lawn and just let the oil pour out into your grass? No, you don't. So you care about that environmental issue if it's only your front yard. And even the broader environmental issues, do you think that they are equal, as Richard Cizik asserts they are, with family and life issues? 1-877-623-6943. It's Audio Open Lines, Issues, Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, the 2nd of December. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talkback at issuesetc.org. Do you think it's time for Christians to broaden their agenda on the political issues? We've been too narrow, too much about abortion, too much about the family or marriage. Now we need to talk about the environment, about disarmament, about all the other things that Richard Cizik and the other new wave of evangelicals are saying should be equal priorities with the old priorities. Here again is Richard Cizik. He also talked about evangelicals working with Barack Obama on reducing the number of abortions.
I will support him. I will support Barack Obama in finding ways to reduce abortions. Absolutely. In politics, I've learned over many years, less is more. I think finding those who are in trouble, in crisis, helping them through this, and if need be, even supplying what government presently doesn't do, namely contraception, is an answer to reducing, you see, unintended pregnancies. We are not, as I have said previously, we're not Catholics who oppose contraception per se. And let's face it, what do you want? Do you want an unintended pregnancy that results in abortion, or do you want to meet a woman's needs in crisis who, frankly, would, by better contraception, avoid that choice, avoid that abortion that we all recognize is morally repugnant? At least it is to me.
All right, that's Richard Cizik. Do you agree or disagree with him? He says it's time for Christians and evangelicals in particular to concentrate on reducing the number of abortions. He even mentioned government-granted or government-funded contraception as a preventative measure for unplanned pregnancies. And if you don't have an unplanned pregnancy, you don't have an abortion. The logic seems ironclad. Or does it? I want to hear what you have to say. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. Well, President-elect Obama says nobody wants more abortions. We want to reduce the number of abortions. Let's get at the root cause of abortion rather than worrying about overturning Roe v. Wade. Richard Cizik doesn't go so far as to say that we should give up on overturning Roe v. Wade, but he thinks a better tack would probably be to cooperate with those who want to reduce the number of abortions, because nobody wants abortion. That's what Senator or President-elect Obama has said. Nobody's in favor of abortion. Of course, he's also planned and promised to sign the Freedom of Choice Act as one of his first acts when he enters office. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Here's Tom, who's calling from his car. Hi, Tom. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, Todd. It seems to me like the Lord said that He did not come to bring peace, but a sword, and that mother would be against daughter, that father would be against son, and so forth. And so I kind of disagree with that idea of greater harmony. And it also says that the earth will wear out like a garment, that it's been tainted by sin, and that it is eventually going to be destroyed. So I have a hard time equating these green issues with belief and the family and so forth. And I also think that there needs to be some way of dealing with the guilt that 60 million men and women feel about the child they conceived and then either knowingly or unknowingly contributing to its destruction through abortion. I think there's this many people who want there to continue to be a threat of legitimacy because it's legal.
Thank you very much, Tom. And I agree. I think the task of dealing with the guilt that ensues from the sin of abortion falls upon the church. I don't think the government can deal with that. I think you would agree there as well. Only the Christian church has the remedy for guilt of that sin or any other sin. This is where the church can step up and say, hey, maybe we have let the ball drop in this respect. Maybe we have not dealt with the aftermath of abortion dealing. But that doesn't, does that mean that we would then say, okay, let's deal with the aftermath and not deal with either preventing it or trying to find some sort of general solution like overturning Roe v. Wade? Now, Christianity can deal with the issue of guilt because Christianity proclaims a Savior who died for all sins, yes, even abortion. And that is, while it may not relieve people of their remorse, it's certainly the guilt itself, the real guilt is borne by Jesus Christ at the cross. The government has nothing like this to offer, of course. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Let's talk with Tim, who's calling from his car. Tim, our time is short. We're going to take a break here pretty quick.
How you doing, sir?
Very well.
I think, your previous caller brings up a good point. Just bottom line, the church has dropped the ball in many different areas. But I think we still have to, the life issue is the most important issue. Nothing else happens without life. We don't care about gas prices if you're dead. And you don't care about anything else if in fact you're dead.
Tim, thank you so much. When we come back from this break, more of Richard Cizik. I'll respond a little bit to Tim's call. We'll see what Richard Cizik has to say about, the direction of evangelicalism, the split in evangelicalism, and many other things. We'll be right back.
If it's worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
Jonah, 3,000 years and the great fish?
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the book on why God allows suffering and death called How Could a Loving God?
Now, surely no one would even suggest that Jonah was in the great fish for 3,000 years. The Bible says 3 days, right? You see, that's the reason I started the program with a question about 3,000 years. It was to point out a major inconsistency with some Christians. Often I find people say to me that the days of creation in Genesis have to be reinterpreted because the Bible states that one day is like 1,000 years. Now, this verse has nothing to do with defining the word day in Genesis chapter 1 anyway. But here's where people need to be consistent. If someone claims that a day in Genesis chapter 1 has to be interpreted as 1,000 years because of a verse in 2 Peter that says that a day is like 1,000 years to God, then everywhere in the Old Testament where day is used, it would have to be changed to 1,000 years. Jonah would have been in the fish 3,000 years, and that's ridiculous. The meaning of the word day depends on the rules of the language, not a phrase in the New Testament.
This topic of the 6 days of creation is a crucial one. In fact, the gospel message is tied to the question of the true age of the earth. Find out how when you read our excellent booklet on millions of years. In fact, we'll send 10 to you after you send a donation of any size. Call our nonprofit ministry toll-free at 888-89-ANSWERS. That's 888-89-ANSWERS.
Time for cool change. I know that it's time for a cool change.
Well, Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Audio Open Line. So, do you think it's time for Christians to change their priorities when it comes to election issues? Have they failed to get the kind of results in society? Instead of overturning Roe v. Wade, let's just work on reducing the number of abortions. And instead of concentrating on things like abortion and the family and marriage, let's concentrate on global warming and disarmament too. All equal priorities. What do you think? 1-877-762-3693. We're hearing from Richard Cizik, who is of the National Association of Evangelicals. He thinks it's not only time for a change, he thinks the change has come and is on its way. 1-877-623-6943. Bill is calling from his car. Hi, Bill.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, Bill, what's your question or comment?
I don't think it's time for a change, although it may be here. One thing that I thought was kind of interesting was that he said that when women are in crisis, we need to give them contraception. I think that's just contributing to the crisis. The crisis would be, you know, after they're pregnant, but before they need the, you know, proper counsel to not violate the Sixth Commandment.
So you're not in favor of his suggestion, and it's only a suggestion on Cizik's part, that the government perhaps fund to provide contraception as a way of reducing the number of abortions?
No, I'm not in favor.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943. Here's Joy in St. Louis. Hi, Joy.
Hi. I think the guy is off base. The life issue is much greater than the idea of this environmental stuff. We are to take care of the earth, but life is a different thing. And as far as the contraceptives by the government, I mean, they give out condoms to kids in college. We need to teach these kids morals. And I just think that there needs to be a real balance, especially with the environmental issue and going on into disarmament. We've had wars forever, and we're going to always have wars because we're a sinful people.
Joy, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in St. Louis. We're listening to Richard Cizik of the National Association of Evangelicals talking about the change that he perceives that has come to evangelicals politically, especially with the last election. We want to know if you agree or disagree. He says environmental issues are equal in God's mind to life issues and family issues. He says the gospel paints a picture of a society that is at peace. He wants to reduce the number of abortions. Perhaps the government should be providing contraception. Let's hear more from Richard Cizik of the National Association of Evangelicals. Here he is talking about gay marriage.
I'm shifting, I have to admit. In other words, I would willingly say I believe in civil unions. Mm-hmm. I don't officially support redefining marriage from its traditional definition, I don't think. We have this tension going on in a movement between what is church building and what is nation building. And I lean in this spectrum at times. Maybe we should concentrate on building our values in our own movement. We have become so absorbed in the question of gay rights and the rest that we fail to understand the challenges and threats to marriage itself, heterosexual marriage. Maybe we need to reevaluate this and look at it a little differently. I'm always looking for ways to reframe issues, give the biblical point of view a different slant, if you will, and look at, we have to. The whole world, literally the planet, is changing around us. And if you don't change the way you think and adapt, especially to things like climate change, scientists like Bob Doppelt, he says, well, if you don't adapt and change your thinking, you may ultimately be a loser, because climate change, in his mind, he's a systems analyst, has the capacity to determine the winners and losers. And your life will never be the same. Growing up during, I say, the Great Warming, our grandparents grew up during the Great Depression. Our parents, well, they lived in the aftermath of that and became probably the most, the greediest generation. And our generation, this younger one, needs to be the greenest.
It's an interesting argument he makes, isn't it? He's kind of making, you know, pro-lifers will make the argument, and we have often here, that the abortion issue is paramount because, as Tim said earlier, you don't really worry about gas prices if you're dead. And babies who don't make it into the world never really have a chance to be concerned about such things as poverty or any of those things. He's turning this argument on his head. Did you notice that? He said, well, you know, if we're living in the great warming, that's going to determine winners or losers, and that'll be the thing that will really who's going to worry about abortion? He didn't say this in so many words, but who worries about things like abortion of the family if the planet's getting warmer? It's an interesting argument. Do you agree or disagree? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. He says we've been too absorbed as Christians on the issue of homosexuality, to the detriment of our recognition of the problems with heterosexual marriage. But is it an either-or? Either we worry about homosexual marriage or we worry about heterosexual marriage. Does Richard Cizik of the National Association of Evangelicals represent your views? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. This email comes from Mike in Rockford, Illinois. He says, where in the scriptures should I find anything about environmental sustainability? Yeah, it was Richard Cizik who said the gospel paints a picture of environmental sustainability. That's interesting. Mike in Rockford goes on. He says, it is absurd to think that all issues are equal when we're talking about the Christian agenda. It's true that God has commanded us to be caretakers of the earth, but to even think that preserving the habitat of some little fish rises to the same level of concern that we should have for preaching and teaching Christ and salvation seems a bit of a stretch to me. The big problem with Christians jumping into the green movement, for example, is that the heart and soul of this movement does not share anything with Orthodox Christianity. Interesting thought there, Mike. Thank you very much for listening in Rockford. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Well, those are legitimate concerns, aren't they? That the environmental movement is hardly a Christian movement at all. In fact, many of the premises of the environmental movement are inimical to Christian faith in other respects. Well, here's more from Richard Cizik on gay marriage.
It's not as high, no. In fact, if you look at some figures, these younger evangelicals, they disagree quite strongly with their elders on that subject. 4 in 10 young evangelicals say they have a close friend or a family member who's gay or lesbian. And so, much different than their elders, younger evangelicals, 52% favor either same-sex marriage or civil unions. But it's not just on this issue, Terry. For example, fully 2/3 of younger evangelicals say they would still vote for a candidate even if the candidate disagreed with them on the issue of abortion. And that's in spite of the fact that younger evangelicals, they are decidedly pro-life, but they also rank other issues, economic issues, the environment. These other issues are very important to them. In fact, health care is just as important to the younger evangelicals as is abortion. And so they have a more pluralistic outlook than older white evangelicals, and they have a decidedly different posture with respect to the role of government here and abroad.
Is this what we need? I mean, I think he's actually right when it comes to younger evangelicals. They do have a more pluralistic outlook. And we're talking here about younger evangelicals, by and large, not younger Roman Catholics or other religious voters. Younger evangelicals do have a pluralistic. They don't see a big moral difference in caliber between poverty, the environment, abortion, war, or any of the other issues. None of them rise above the others. Now, he's right. That's how they think. The question is that how they should think? There seems to be, for some reason, a leap being made here that I don't think is necessary. Just because younger evangelicals are doing this and thinking this and they're the future of the evangelical movement, that means that should be the way that evangelicals think. I'd like to hear from younger evangelicals on this issue. Is abortion just as important to you as say, healthcare, poverty, the environment, disarmament? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, talkback at issuesetc.org. Andy's listening in St. Louis. Hi, Andy.
Hi. If you wanted somebody younger, you answered the wrong phone. I'm sorry. Well, I am pluralistic in my outlook. Certainly, there are many concerns that Christians can legitimately undertake an interest in. The question is kind of like a stove. If you're cooking dinner and you've got your main course is going to be on the front burner, and maybe your vegetables and potatoes are going to be on the back burner. What's the most important thing to the dinner? Is it the roast that you're cooking in the Dutch oven, or is it those the corn or the potatoes? And as far as the younger people are concerned, don't the older people have the responsibility to educate the younger people to help them to understand what should be on the front burner?
That's a very good point, Andy. Yeah, just because the younger people don't see a difference in moral caliber between abortion and the environment, or abortion and poverty, or abortion and health care, or abortion and disarmament, does that necessarily mean they're right? Isn't it the responsibility of the older generation? I know we're passé, I know we're white, I know we're passing away, I know we're practically dead, but isn't the responsibility of older Christians to educate the younger Christians? We'll be right back.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of issues, etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making an online gift today, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You think it's time for Christians to change their priorities on the election issues? Richard Cizik says the change is already underway and we'd better get with it. Our in-studio email address, it's audio open lines, talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org, and our phone number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Here's Mark calling from his car. Hi, Mark.
Pastor Todd, you know, they say of some politicians that they try to figure out which way public opinion is going and then get in front of it and claim to be leading it. And it seems to me that, you know, again, we're supposed to follow what, you know, the Bible says. That's supposed to form our opinions. So I would tend to disagree with this gentleman.
Mark, thank you very much. Yeah, they say that politicians find the parade and then jump out in front. Here's Francis in High Ridge, Missouri. Hi, Francis.
Hi. The thing that struck me is during this whole time, unfortunately, I actually heard this on NPR this morning, and the thing that struck me is the whole time he was talking, like the last caller said, about what people are thinking. Well, here's a guy who's supposed to be representing Christians in government, and the whole time he doesn't say, what does God say about these issues? What is most popular with people shifting opinions?
Very interesting. Thanks, Francis. Thanks for listening in High Ridge. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Back to NPR's recent interview with Richard Cizik of the National Association of Evangelicals. Here's Cizik on how evangelicals can work with future President Obama.
Well, for those to whom all compromise is simply submitting, you see, to political correctness or whatever, for them it's going to be very hard. But for most evangelicals, I don't think so. After all, we believe, you see, that God is alive and real, and he lifts up some and puts down others. And ultimately, we have to say God has put this man in this position. It's our responsibility to pray for him, to support him, work with him in whatever ways we can. It will require for some bridging outward. That's Robert Putnam's term, bridging outward to collaborate with Barack Obama to do what is right by so many different people who need the kinds of policies he's espousing. And that will be hard, but should we do it? Yes. And will we hold him accountable when he runs against what we happen to think is right and good and proper and all the rest? We will do that, but we'll do it in a nice way. And we're not going to be, objectionable in the way that some people have in the past that, as I said, led one Republican leader to call one of our numbers a bully and a thug. That's not who we are.
It's Richard Cizik of the National Association of Evangelicals, 1-877-623-6943. It's audio open lines, issues, etc. He's calling for a change in the priorities of religious voters. Do you agree or disagree? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Well, here's a question I wish NPR would have asked Richard Cizik. How is what you're saying any different from the National Council of Churches? Remember, this is the National Association of Evangelicals. Up until recently, I guess you could say socially and politically, a very conservative organization. Of course, evangelicalism is a broad thing, but the leadership has largely been socially and politically conservative. The National Council of Churches, been around a lot longer, has gone the other direction. It's the home of mainline Christian liberalism in the United States. I don't know if Richard Cizik realizes this, but the National Council of Churches has been ringing this bell, the one he's ringing right now, ringing this bell for a long, long time. The only difference is they're not particularly keen on the idea of overturning Roe v. Wade. They're not particularly keen on opposing things like gay marriage. That's the only difference. They've been saying for a long time, come on, we need broader priorities, the environment, disarmament, poverty. You know, there's really not anything new here in what Richard Cizik is saying. David in Kansas City writes us, he says, as I write this, your bumper music sings the times they are a change, a little bit of Dylan there, yes. It appears that from the surface of the interview you're featuring, this is true for American evangelicalism. New issues are overshadowing the old ones. Earth first instead of the child first, interesting way of putting it. Environment over marriage, yet the rhetoric seems all too familiar. Richard Cizik, pardon my spelling, seems to present the gospel as useful for our pleasing God rather than it being first and foremost true. As in the case of older line evangelicals, the, quote, gospel becomes a set of flat propositions without much reason. When the gospel, let alone Christ Jesus crucified, is preached as true, the reason for believing it is obvious. The reason for defending life from the womb to the grave is obvious. Being repentant stewards of the creation God has given us is well plainly spelled out in Holy Scripture. In Richard Cizik's comments, we see the great division between evangelicalism's willingness to change, anti-creedalism, versus our Lutheran desire to preach the gospel in the midst of change. Creedal and confessional. Thank you very much, David, and thanks for listening in Kansas City. Here's Ann calling from St. Louis. Hi, Ann.
Well, good afternoon. I've heard some of this program, so excuse me if I'm not responding properly, but this man seems to me like he's completely jumped ship. I makes me think about Dr. King when she was on last week and kept calling the unborn the little babies, a much more compassionate way to speak of them than many are doing. And we're supposed to think very kindly of this new president-elect, and to me, he's president infanticide. I'm having a hard time getting over the fact that he's even going to be the president. I guess that's all I have to say, Todd.
Ann, thank you very much. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, talkback at issuesetc.org. Yeah, there is a contrast between Alveda King. We interviewed her last week. She kept talking about the little babies, and it's even shocking to hear someone say that, the little babies that are dying. But it's true. As opposed to Richard Cizik, the closest he ever came to that in that interview is unplanned pregnancies. What do we want? Unplanned babies aren't pregnancies. The unborn aren't pregnancies. Pregnancy is a condition in which a woman has a baby in her womb. Who are we talking about, a condition or a person? It is interesting. It's an interesting shift in rhetoric. Now, you say he might have jumped ship. I don't know. A lot have jumped with him, if he did. Let's hear it from Richard Cizik one more time. He talks about how big the split is among American evangelicals on the political issues.
It's hard to know, Terry, because even the younger evangelicals, those that went for Obama, they clearly are pro-life. They're conservatives, but they also, 32% of evangelicals voted for Obama, younger evangelicals, that is. That's twice the number that voted for John Kerry 4 years ago. And this is a big increase in states like Colorado, Indiana, North Carolina. So the younger evangelicals are probably the future with that broader palette. And they will determine the future of this huge movement that, well, by some surveys' estimates, if you include children and the rest, 100 million people, one-third of all Americans.
Okay, so again, what we hear is, at least it sounds like, if we watch what the youth are doing here, they seem to be changing their priorities. That's the future. That's the way we're going to go. There's the parade. Let's get in front of it before it passes us by, which is really typical of American evangelicalism, theologically. It's been 30 years now in American evangelicalism. It just so happened that in terms of politics, it took a while to catch up with it. But in terms of its theology, American evangelicalism has been letting culture call the shots for 30 years. Very little difference between that and American Christian liberalism. Let the culture call the shots. Put your finger out, see which way the wind is blowing, and then go that direction. A couple responses. First of all, this notion of reducing the number of abortions is perhaps pragmatically preferable to trying to overturn Roe v. Wade. We don't use that logic with any other social ill, do we? Spousal abuse. Do we say that if a man beats up on his wife, rather than make a law against him doing that and punishing him for doing that and holding him accountable for doing that, let's try and prevent him from doing it in the first place? And don't worry about the laws. If we can prevent it, then we don't have to write any laws. No. In fact, it's more pragmatic to write the laws in case someone does slip through our screen of prevention. The same is true of abortion. I want you to think about this for a moment, going back to something we said with Mark Strickertz earlier in the program. Someone says, look, there should be priorities here, moral priorities for religious voters. The war, for instance, takes a lot of lives. I want you to imagine a war that's lasted 35 years. Without a single break for 35 years. No ceasefire for 35 years. It's taken 4,000 lives, American lives, a day. It shows no sign of letting up and no sign of stopping anytime in the future. And it's sanctioned by the government. And every one of its victims is unwilling, drafted into this war, and a loser and a victim. And no one comes home from this war alive. No one who goes onto the battlefield comes home alive. You know what that is? Would you oppose that kind of war? Would you petition government to stop it? That kind of war? I'm talking about abortion. 35 years long, no ceasefire. Every person who's been sent into this war dies. No one comes back alive. There are nothing but victims in this war. 4,000 American lives a day. I think we should stop this war, don't you? I think that takes a moral priority over a lot of things, like the environment and our economic crisis. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.